People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg. I have my buddy and co-host with me, Larry. How you doing?
Good. Good afternoon and happy post-Thanksgiving to you.
Yes, which is nice because when we come off of a holiday, we sort of remember, right, that there are more important things in life and we need to worry about ourselves, our health, our family. This show is an opportunity for us to get on the air and speak to a lot of people about a lot of the important issues that face the community. Also, things that we're facing, new frontiers we're facing, illnesses and struggles that we have, homelessness, illnesses. I said that many times. Special needs. There's so many things that we have to think about and worry about in our lives. And sometimes we just don't get the information we need necessary to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what the whole purpose of this show is, to kind of bring everybody together.
Yes, it is.
And talk about these important topics. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Lars.
No, it was our anniversary, too. I mean, we mentioned that a week before Thanksgiving, but this is our third year now.
Third year on the air. Show. And we know, just from talking to our listeners, the impact a lot of these shows have had, mm-hmm. Especially with topics that are not always easy to talk about. I was going to say, if you remember a couple weeks back, we had Dr. Polanyi on the air.
Oh, diabetes.
Yeah, we talked, and this is a subject that we've been talking about since we started the show. We go way back, and we were amazed at how many people truly are affected by diabetes, but also the amount of information that's out there that most people don't even realize, the things that they don't even know, and things they can do to prevent diabetes in the first place. So we're very excited today to have another follow-up conversation about diabetes, specifically how to save limbs and limb loss and how that diabetes leads to these things. I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Lida Farocki of Stanford University. She's a clinician and researcher who's leading the study Strength Training Regimen for Normal Weight Diabetics. This is a major opportunity for us. Welcome, Dr. Farocki. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg and Larry. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure to have you. We were amazed at some of the information we found out in doing our research for the show.
Blown away. I was blown away.
Yeah. Especially pertaining to how diabetes strongly affects the Indian community. So why don't we start? Tell us a little bit about this study so we have a good understanding of where you are and what your role is.
The strength training regimen for normal weight diabetics is exactly that. We're looking at how we can help people who are normal weight that are diabetic. I mean, when we think about diabetes, you think about overweight and you think about telling people, if they just lose weight, that they can make, you know, the diabetes go away and they can get better. But normal weight people come in and it's very frustrating in the clinic to tell them, okay, they're already, you know, their BMI is already less than 25, so you can't say lose weight. So we wanted to look and see if resistance training is one way that we can change their A1C.
So in other words, and I remember discussing this a few weeks back, there are many people that could be doing pretty much all the right things, at least physically, they look like they're doing the right things, mm-hmm. but they still end up at high risk for diabetes. Can you explain why that is?
That's what we're trying to figure out. Along with this study, we're also doing some genetic testing to figure out why it does affect normal weight diabetics.
So according to the International Diabetes Federation, in 2015, 415 million people worldwide currently living with diabetes. They're expecting that number to jump to 642 by 2040. But what amazed me the most is that India, with 69 million currently, and the United States with 29 million, are two of the largest, outranked only by China. So we could see that this issue is affecting the Indian community.
Yeah, it's greatly affecting, especially what I specialize in, which is amputations. We've had doctors lecture from India, and I think the difficulty there is just having access to healthcare. And and we can work on prevention here, but I think it's even harder there. And they were telling us, like, just having a toe amputated is sometimes the salary of a family for 1 month.
Wow. That's it for one toe?
For one toe. And so what they do is the doctors were telling us, instead of taking the toe, they just take, like, half the foot because they know this person's not going to come back. So they actually go further up than what, you know, we would do here.
Are you kidding? Wow.
So I was always curious about, with the amputation, what is it about, I mean, is the flesh dead or is it gangrene? What is it that makes that have to be done, the amputation? Why would that have to be done?
Yeah, that's a great question. So basically, when people don't control their sugars and their A1C goes higher, it causes nerve damage, which is neuropathy,
okay,
in their feet. So they're not going to be able to feel cold or hot. And we've seen patients come into the clinic with literally tacks or nails that are stuck in their feet, and they just didn't know.
Yeah, wow. Really?
Yeah, so it's not that they're not taking care of themselves. It's like, because most of this affects the elderly. You know, maybe they're not able to wash their feet or look at it. So we've had people come in. By the time they come in, it's already infected.
Wow.
And it goes to bone because the bone's right there. It's not like any other body part. It's right there. So when it goes to bone, you have to take that part of bone out.
So nerve damage, basically, right? They don't
feel, damage,
for whatever reason, they're not feeling the sensation because of the nerve damage. And then that eventually starts to break down, clearly.
Yeah, I always thought it was related to dead tissue. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, they say that they feel pins and needles, or they just feel like their foot's always asleep.
Huh. So now is I know feet are, it's an extremity, so is the biggest issue they say is feet, right? So I know my brother-in-law is a type 1 diabetic who's born with it, so he always says he's got to make sure he takes care of his feet, blisters. If he has a blister, you know, he slightly panics, you know, because...
because it can get infected easily if you don't take care of it.
So is it all... I'm assuming, though, it's not only the feet. This can happen... is the same problem happening with the nerve damage in the fingers and such as well?
They may get nerve damage in the fingers, but it does affect the feet more because obviously you have the weight on it. So 60% of all non-traumatic amputations are lower limb.
Okay.
So it affects more than anything else.
Now, I remember in our the last conversation we had on the topic, we found out obviously smoking is a big part of this too. And unfortunately, if you smoke, it's obviously bad for you, even if you aren't prone to diabetes, even if you don't have diabetes. But that enhances the problem for diabetics?
It slows the healing. There's actually physicians that I've worked with that will not do surgeries on patients that smoke because they know that it's not going to heal. Diabetes slows it down. So if you add smoking to that, it makes it worse. And then they may have other issues as well. Because once you have diabetes and you've had it for a little while, and I think Dr. Polanyi spoke to this about having cardiac issues and other comorbidities that go with diabetes.
Yeah, well, I remember her saying that the blood flow is a big issue, right? Getting blood flowing properly to the feet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, with the healthcare issues you speak of, what can be done? So let's say somebody who's listening right now who doesn't get regular checkups, maybe they are, you know, they are here, they move to America, and they might not have good coverage. What do they do in that instance? What's the best preventative care that they can take, or what are some of the steps they can take to start paying closer attention to their health?
Just checking their feet. You know, they did a study where they were comparing the Middle East to a lot of the other countries, and actually the amputation rates are lower because when they pray, they wash their feet 5 times a day.
Oh.
So they're forced to look at their feet. Just checking their feet, and if they see anything, to make sure as soon as possible to see their doctor or to go in and have somebody look at it.
So I'm going to use myself as an example. So what would I do is if like I want to start paying closer attention to my health, right? I know with weight gain, as we get older, we become more, you know, our sugar intake and our extra weight and carbohydrates and all of that. But what would be some of the signs I can look for to think I might have a problem?
So you want to look at spikes with your insulin level. So when you check your insulin, let's say if you have a big piece of cake and then you don't eat for the rest of the day and then you have another piece of cake, so it's going to go up to like 500 and then come back down to 70. Those peaks are what cause the damage. They take the myelin off the nerve, and that's what kills the nerve.
Wow.
I'm glad you said that. I just had a whole thing of Bundt Cake?
Did you?
What's the name of that place?
Nothing Bundt Cakes.
Yeah, I ate the whole thing. I ate 12. I ate 9 out of 12.
Come on.
The first, yeah.
And here we are having
I'm
this conversation. You should be ashamed.
Lies. I'm very surprised.
So that obvious. Well, I would know that if you're eating that many, it's not good to eat sweets.
Well, I do it
sweets.
Once in a blue moon.
I know in the Indian culture, obviously, that there's so much is, attention on sweets. They love the sweets.
Yeah.
We have them in our office all day, and I'm very thankful for that. But it's a lot of sugar in the diet, obviously, isn't a good thing. And but how can you maintain and still maybe eat the sweets without having the big concern of diabetes? Is there still a way to manage that, would you say, doctor?
I think moderation, as with everything else, and then adding exercise to it. Because if you do, like, you had the Bundt cake, but if you go to the gym and work out, if you test your sugar right now, and then you go to the gym and work out, let's say for an hour, and test it again, you'll notice the difference.
Okay.
So it's not just the insulin. Working out itself, exercising itself, will reduce that.
Well, that's a good point.
And that's where this comes into play, is the weight training.
I was going to say, the good opportunity to talk about the exercise interventions. I know that's a big part of it. So do you want to speak to that a bit, doctor?
Sure. So this study, what we were looking at is ADA, American Diabetes Association, says to work out 150 minutes per week. But they don't break it down into strength training, aerobic training, or a combination of what would be the best thing to do. And part of the study that we do is we bring the participants in and we show them how to work out. We actually have certified people showing them how to work out, and then we send them to the gym. So they know they have a regimen to go through. They know to do this 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully we'll get the results at the end.
I was surprised to see that 70% of type 2 diabetes patients don't exercise at recommended levels. So even after they've been told that they have this, they continue with the bad habits, which I don't want to make this a negative focus, but how eventually that will, the long-term issues involved if you do not exercise are a major part of this story, correct?
Yeah, and I think the main issue is people think that if they ignore it, it's kind of going to go away. And there's a negative, like you said, there's a negative connotation to it, but it's a controllable disease. It's one that you can actually bring down your weight, bring down your A1C. You can actually get off the medications. And I've seen that in clinic. So it's very controllable, but ignoring it is probably the worst thing that people can do. And then by the time they come in, they have other issues that, you know, need attention as well.
So I would think a diet has a role in this too. Wouldn't you say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, aside from sugar, but just the proper kind of diet. We talked about this last time. Especially foods, you know, GMO, and foods with a lot of preservatives and things of that sort. This
really increasing that white carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
The recommendation, like white pastas, white bread.
Yeah.
So in other words, you don't want to eat so much white bread, so much white pasta.
So,
or
Greg,
rice.
You have to stop eating
my
basically,
whole diet.
That's all you eat.
Seriously.
I would love for you guys to come in. We also do these diabetic education classes once a month, where we have a nutritionist come in and different specialties come in and talk to our participants.
That's
so they
amazing.
Get that information as well. It's not just sending them to exercise. We try to make it well-rounded, and I'll let you guys know in the next classes.
Yeah, can anyone go to that? Like,
yes.
So really? It's open invitation?
And where is this held?
It's held in at Stanford University.
Oh, okay.
School of Medicine, 1070 West Dodero.
All right, where it's at.
So in case you're listening to this and you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dr. Lita Faroki, who is an absolute leader in the field, a clinician researcher studying strength training regimen for normal weight diabetics. And I know when we brought up normal weight diabetics, I remember a lot of our listeners and a lot of our clients were saying, like, they never even heard of such a thing. Because I guess you're always trained to believe that, you know, it's partially because you're overweight or you overeat or you're born with it.
Yeah.
But tell us, can you talk a little bit about normal weight diabetics and the importance of, like you said, these checkups and what these particular portion of the community can be doing better or could be doing to make sure that they are on top of or ahead of the disease itself?
Sure. I think one of the biggest things is just regular checkups, because by the time normal weight diabetics do come in and they, you know, they get tested, it's been going on for a while. So it's harder to control. And things like looking out for, like you said, those symptoms of, you know, where they urinate too much, they go to the bathroom too much, they get thirsty all the time. Just the basic diabetic, you know, symptoms that they can look for.
So urinating too much is something that's a sign?
Yeah, so diabetes affects mainly your eyes, your kidneys, and your feet. So those are the signs that you will see.
Because your kidneys actually control your your sugar, right? Your what do you call that? I'm sorry, your
glucose level.
Yeah,
but there's what do they say that it's
insulin? I mean,
insulin. That's what I was thinking.
Sorry.
Yes,
got that from you.
Yeah, well, I'm learning all my information is coming from the doctors that we speak to, Larry.
Yeah.
So I'm still learning, and I think there's sort of an ignorance. I think we all have it sometimes. We want to believe that nothing bad will happen to us, right? That if we ignore the problem, it'll go away. But everything I ever hear is if you get to these things early enough, not just diabetes, but even with cancer,
prevented or
heart disease. Yeah, if you get there early enough, there's time to fix it. I think that's what we need to focus on, is that if you get to these things early, and you are paying close attention to your body, that hopefully these problems won't escalate into bigger problems. What would you find, doctor, is like the biggest surprise? You've been doing this now. You're a leader in the field. What surprises you the most? What one thing would you say really stands out?
I think just like what you said, is people come in and they say they've been diabetic for a few years and they just haven't gone back to the doctor, or they've never checked their sugar. They've never exercised. Like I said, the fact that they kind of ignore it and think it'll just go away on its own. Mm. And you see this with normal weight diabetics, and they will tell you, but I'm skinny, you know, I'm healthy, I work out, why do I have this? So it's, you know, it's something that really needed to be focused on as well for normal weight diabetics. And Dr. Paul Yoplin's ahead in this field, and it's amazing. This is amazing work that we're doing.
I always say it's amazing we have all these incredible researchers and doctors right here in Stanford, some of the best in the world that are working on these problems, right? And we have access to them for a show like this. But there are so many people that are just, you know, blissfully ignorant when it comes to this information. So is there any place that we can tell them to go look and to go seek out information? Maybe you can lead them to the right places for the resources.
Sure. I can give the phone number, which is 650-736-2743.
Okay.
Or they can email us at strongdstudy@stanford.edu.
Strong D as in diabetes, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I really highly recommend that our listeners take these steps. I mean, sometimes you need to throw it in front of people's faces to get them to pay attention. This should be that opportunity for you to get a checkup. Find out what's wrong. Find out if you are predisposed, because that's new to me. I wasn't aware until we spoke to Dr. Paul Yoplin that there is a predisposition for this, and it's specifically with the Indian demographic. So if that's something that we can do to prevent, and it's something we can do to take steps towards that, I really think it would be a great idea. Is there anything else, doctor, that you'd like to mention and to tell our listeners, since you have the opportunity to reach many thousands right now?
I think it's really important for the Indian community to recognize this as a problem. And actually, there's not many studies going on in the country or the world that is just focusing on the Indian community. So I think they need to use this opportunity. And if you do have diabetes, you know, let us help you and try to figure out what's the best treatment.
I had a question about the exercise regimens.
Uh-huh.
So are they age specific? I mean, I would think that for different ages, you would have different types of programs.
Well, we have them go to their primary care doctor. They get a medical clearance. It's more based on their how much they can do.
Okay.
Versus age, because we have some very healthy 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, and you know we have some people that have never worked out in their 40s. So it's based on what they can do.
I'm looking at him.
Oh, stop. I walk all the time.
Well,
I think it's...
From room to room.
When you talk about limb salvage and you talk about trying to... When you see most of your focus is happening on how you can salvage a limb, I know that's one of those taboo subjects. No one wants to believe that'll ever happen to them. No one wants to believe that anything could lead to that. But do you find that the reality of losing a limb, does that kick people into the gear to say, I need to take care of myself better? Do you think that that's usually a sign that they're never going to take care of themselves? Because I do sense sometimes, I know I'm thick-headed. Do people finally kick into gear when they find out that this is what it's come to?
It does when they lose digits. I've seen it when they lose like one toe, and you know, I joke with them and I say, you know, people pay for this, because there is actually doctors in New York that will take a toe off for women to wear better shoes or... So I try to make them feel better and say, okay, you're doing this. But when you lose a leg, it's a totally different thing than losing one toe.
Meaning like it's more psychologically?
Well, there's they're going to probably lose their, there's a 50% chance they'll lose their other leg within 5 years, and then there's a 10% mortality rate after that.
50% chance if you lose one that you're going to lose the other?
The other, yeah.
Ooh. Is that because they now can't exercise and now the blood, the problem just kind of multiplies?
Well, they're going to be even more sedentary. They're going to be sitting in the wheelchair. Yeah. They're not going to be able to work out. And it's also psychological. I've seen it affect a lot of people where they just, you know, they lose a lot of hope when they get to that point.
So you had mentioned sedentary. So office workers, are they more prone because they're at their desk all day?
If you are able to do that 1 hour that is recommended, mm-hmm. it's not going to affect you.
Okay.
If you're able to go to the gym or find a way to exercise for that 1 hour, that's what's important, is getting that time in. Not that all day you're sitting down, but you get up afterwards and you actually do something.
Do something, yeah. Intentionally.
Intentionally.
Well, you can. You're right, Larry. You get, sometimes you work in an office, you get stuck. You can realize I've been sitting here for 2 hours without even moving.
The problem is, though, with office workers and people that are in one place for so long during the day, is that they, for some reason, they don't have the time to go to a gym or even to spend any time at home, especially single moms with children at home.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But you know what? Technology's gone so far. They have these, like, bike pedals that you can put in front of you when you're watching TV, and it has the same effect as you being on a bike.
Is that right?
Things have moved progress to where you can do a lot of things at home.
Wow.
And working moms can sit there and, you know, be on a stationary bike.
Well, if they don't like riding a bike.
They can, or a treadmill or whatever machine. But it's gone, technology's gotten us to the point where the excuse of not having the machine or it's not going to work when you're looking at losing a limb.
Well, that's for sure.
I'll tell you, whenever we have any of our professionals or experts on the show to talk about these subjects, it always is amazing how much we learn.
Yeah.
Just in this conversation alone, I'm sure there are people listening that are like, I need to start paying attention. I need, I really feel that.
Yeah, and people actually listen to the professionals. They don't listen to us.
They
but
shouldn't.
They listen
yeah.
to the professionals.
That's why we bring these doctors
exactly
on, because
right.
they know what they're
saying.
You guys
are great.
Listen.
Great questions.
You guys are amazing, and it means a lot that you'll take the time out of your crazy schedule. You're doing really, really important work, so all we're doing is facilitating. Is there any last thoughts you would like to leave with our listeners, Doctor?
Like I said, even if you think you're pre-diabetic and you just have questions, feel free to give us a call. You know, we can tell you about the classes. If you think that you're headed or you just have questions, they're free to have, you know, we'd be happy to answer them.
One more time, if you can give out the phone number and email, that would be great.
Sure. It's 650-736-2743. And then the email address is strongd, as in diabetes, study@stanford.edu.
Mm. Doctor, it's been an absolute pleasure having you. I know our listeners are thankful. I know Larry and I are both very grateful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe down the road you could do another follow-up. Anytime you have something new that you might like to report, or if you just want to give us any updates, please let us know, because we'd love to have you back on the show.
I think it would be really amazing to follow up with this, you know, when we're done, and give you guys the statistics and see how it turned out.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That would be
amazing.
We
always love to hear that.
Yeah.
And when there is the next opportunity for people to come and gain all this knowledge, when you guys do your next
educational
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Go to that.
If you could let us know, we could promote that. Maybe we could bring you back on after that or before that, but we'd love to be involved and promote. And again, we thank you so much, Doctor, for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you both.
Well, that was absolutely amazing. I love the opportunity we get to talk to some of the best doctors in the world, Lair.
And just people in general, though, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right. I mean, I'm totally blessed. Every time we do the show, I am. I was totally blown away by all these phenomenal people that we meet and the phenomenal work that they're doing, not only here, but around the world. So it's pretty awesome.
I was in London a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and I didn't even get a chance to ask how that went.
It was nice. And one of the people I was speaking to was saying, we're talking about the, you know, I guess whatever, Oxford Medical, whatever it was, one of the greatest research hospitals in the universe, right? And they also mentioned the Stanford, and they were like, you know, you guys have Stanford. I'm like, it's amazing to think that this
they brought it up.
Is right here. Yeah, it's like we have it's one true. Of the leading medical facilities research facilities in the whole world right behind us. So we have access to doctors like Dr. Lita Faroki. And it was really incredible to hear some of these statistics. And I know limb loss is one of those things no one wants to hear about or talk about.
Yeah.
Right? It's definitely, I don't want to say a taboo subject, but you don't want to even think that that could happen to you. But a little bit of prevention, just making sure your feet are okay.
I was going to say, that's where I would say, people, check your feet.
Look at the
bottom. Make sure you look at your feet. There's a lot that can go on with your feet.
I read a statistic that there's like
a
high percentage of people that don't even wash the bottom of their feet because they can't reach it. They can't get to it.
I'm on top of that.
So when you're standing in the shower, like as you get older, it's harder to get down that far, or like maybe you're overweight and it's difficult, but they say a lot of people don't wash the bottom of their feet.
It's true.
So if you're not washing it, you're not checking to see if you have any bad blisters or any bad. But if you have that, say you have a splinter in your foot or something, if you leave it, it will get infected, which will lead, and if you're a diabetic, it could lead to the loss of a limb.
That's what we're talking about too, because your feet get numb, so you can't feel it. I mean, it's like walking on rocks on fire. Not even feel it.
I thought it was interesting when you brought up that you weren't aware of how the problem, what leads to the amputation, like why is it gangrene?
Exactly, that's what I
the
know
nerve damage
dead tissue.
Makes sense, right? Because like if you don't feel that something's wrong, you don't think, wow, I have a pain in my foot, so you're not checking it, therefore it gets out of control because the nerve damage is not allowing you, there's not enough blood flow to that foot or to those toes to know that there's a problem, which is a really eye-opening thing. Just check your feet.
Are your feet sensitive?
My feet are not sensitive. I definitely have surgery on my ankle and I have a plate and screws in there because of a bad break I had a few years back. And because of that, I have where the actual incision was and where the scar is, it's tender to the touch. Like I almost feel like pins and needles, like my foot's asleep in that spot, but not on the bottom of my feet or anywhere else.
Mine are. I mean, I can step on an eyelash and I'll feel it.
You feel it, really?
I really, yeah, it's weird.
That means you have great blood flow.
Really tiny little things, and I'm really amazed that I can even feel them that way.
It's crazy. I mean, you must mean you have great blood flow.
I guess.
In your feet.
I never even thought of it.
You have good.
But yeah, people, check your feet.
So before we get out of here,
and
I wanted
if that doesn't work, take a mirror to the bathroom. Just get a mirror.
Yeah, look at, that's good.
What
good
are those
idea.
Things that you talk, they put up your iPhone on the end of a stick. What do they call this?
Oh, a selfie stick.
Yeah, take a selfie stick.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, take baths instead of showers. Excuse me. Or you can take a shower too.
Selfie stick works.
Just get a long stick.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But it also make you lazy.
Full of them.
I know you're very lazy. I want to send a shout out to our friend Sherry from Drivers for Survivors.
Hi, Sherry.
Anybody who listens to our show has probably heard Sherry on with us many
Sherry
times. She is responsible. It's a free ride service for cancer patients. They provide companionship on the trip to the hospital when they're in treatments, because Sherry had gone through this herself.
Yeah.
And her way of kind of giving back was to create this nonprofit. They're always looking for volunteer drivers. If you want to be one of those people, at this time of year, you're like, I want to do something good. I don't really have that much time, but I have a few hours a week. This might be one of those things. You can help a cancer patient who really needs it to get to and from treatments.
Yeah, you can.
And they're doing this great thing, a donation. It's like a movement called Giving Tuesday. So this past Tuesday, November 28th, they were trying to get people to make a difference by making a donation and joining this movement on Giving Tuesday. Seeing as that passed this past week, we wanted to give a shout out because it's never too late to volunteer, never too late to donate.
No.
So do yourself a favor and go to driversforsurvivors.org. Let me make sure I have that right. Because there is a link specifically where you can go and make your donation. I'm going to put it up on our website as well.
It is
driversforsurvivors.org. Mm-hmm. That's right.
It is. It's on our website.
It's already there, yeah.
So check it out in the archives.
Do what you can to help. This is a great opportunity. A great example of a local nonprofit doing the right thing for people in need. And she is a great lady. She's a hustler. She works so hard. And
tiny little thing too.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that somebody that tiny would have that much energy.
And they are a 501 nonprofit charitable organization, so you can donate just by going driversforsurvivors.org.
And the pay is really good.
Yeah. So anyhow,
you didn't even catch that. You didn't even
the pay. In other words, I got it.
Did you really?
Yeah, but it wasn't really that funny.
I thought I was going to get that.
No, I wasn't going to get a response. I just feel like I felt like it was best to just blow right by it because it wasn't good enough.
So you ignored me.
I did.
Okay.
Anything you want to add before we get out of here, my friends?
Well, aside from checking your feet.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just the thing I always do. I mean, is it's this thought for the day or whatever we want to call it. We always like to say that when you go out there and you help somebody, you know, you help to change somebody's life, you actually change your own. So you're not just helping them, you're helping yourself. And, you know, if we could all do that, this would be a much better planet to be on, wouldn't it?
Very well said.
Yeah.
I will say, coming off of Thanksgiving week last week, I'd like to say I'm thankful for you, Larry.
I'm thankful for you.
I'm thankful for our listeners, and I'm especially thankful for all the great guests we've had on this show that have given us so much wonderful and important information to help make our lives more fruitful, more livable, and healthier. So thank you to Dr. Farocki today and all the doctors, Dr. Polignapin from a couple weeks back,
and every
other guest that's ever been on the show. Yeah. So we'll be back again next week with another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM.